mustn't fail, mustn't fall. So I'm no weary doll waiting for the day I get my wings.
The IU Opera Theater presents Jake Heggie's It's a Wonderful Life, November 10th through the 17th. The opera is based on Frank Capra's iconic film. I'm George Walker for WFIU Arts, and our guest is composer Jake Heggie. In 2015, IU's opera presented his Dead Man Walking. Jake, how did you come to write It's a Wonderful Life?
Houston Grand Opera a few years ago invited me to write a holiday-themed opera, something that could be done in many different sized houses while the ballet is doing Nutcracker. And because the opera world doesn't have a piece like that, we do Hansel and Gretel, or we do the Magic Flute, or we do Bohème somewhere, all of which are not really holiday operas. And I didn't want to do Christmas Carol, and I started thinking about pieces that resonate with us year after year. And I knew it wasn't going to be Charlie Brown Christmas or The Grinch or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, all of which I love to watch every year, but do not seem to fit on the opera stage. But then I thought, It's a Wonderful Life, and it's never been treated as an opera. There was a musical made of it many years ago by Sheldon Harnick. And I just suddenly thought, well, it is very operatic. And I got lots of ideas, and it felt like the right piece for me and my writing partner, Gene Shear, who writes librettos for my operas. And we just went from there. Everyone embraced the idea and seemed to love it.
The opera premiered in Houston, and it comes to IU with the original director and set designer. Does this sort of cooperative commissioning seem to be a growing model for production as involved as music dramas?
Yes, it is. For many years, companies have done co-commissions or co-productions. For example, Moby Dick was a co-commission and production between five companies internationally, including one in Canada and one in Australia. This one included Houston Grand Opera, San Francisco Opera, and IU. And I think this is a wonderful development in the professional field, because not only does it give students an opportunity to work within the context of a professional organization, but it gives the creative team a chance to see how it works with professional singers and also with young artists who are still studying. So it's very exciting to be here as part of this, and I hope it's a trend that will continue.
Opera puts some unique demands on storytelling.
So it was picking the core story, the story of George Bailey in Bedford Falls, a man who gives so much to his community, but then in the end doesn't realize just how much he has done and what value his life has had, and an angel that is sent to show him the value of that life. One of the things in opera is vocal casting, and since the angel and George are together through this entire journey, operatically, having a female voice, a soprano, with a tenor seemed much more pleasing and engaging to me than to having either two tenors or a tenor and a baritone all night long. And so that was one of the reasons for that choice, making Clarence into Clara.
So Clarence becomes Clara. What's the greatest challenge when you begin an opera?
The biggest issue for me in creating any single opera is finding the sound world for that story, where all those characters live. For Moby Dick, it was finding a way to depict the ocean and an adventure story, and then the characters could emerge from that sound world. In Dead Man Walking, it was the world of social justice and prisons and Hope House and the difficult world that those people are in. In this one, it's a town, small town in the USA in upstate New York called Bedford Falls that Frank Capra invented in a way, and how the characters can emerge from that landscape. So it's capturing the feeling of a location and then letting the characters emerge and tell us a story. And that is the challenge and the joy of it, because once I lock into that, it's almost like taking dictation from the characters. They tell me how they want it to go.
Now, area opera fans have had a chance to hear your work in Dead Man Walking. Do you have a signature style that stands out, or does the story and characters determine what we'll hear in It's a Wonderful Life?
I try to welcome the audience in with the music, not put them at a distance, so that they can be open to the to the journeys of those characters and the emotional lives that they have and the stories that they're telling us. Do I have a signature style? I'm extremely melodic and lyrical. I love motifs that let an audience know who a character is or what a situation is and give them something to hang on to. I like a wide variety of pace and heartbeat in the music as we move through a story, trying to capture all of that.
Opera places some special demands and opportunities on a story?
We're not putting the movie on the stage. That doesn't make any sense to me, just to put the movie on the stage. Movies work in a visual medium that is very different from the way theater works on the stage, especially in opera. So if people are expecting to see everything in the movie, you're going to be a little disappointed, but hopefully we will surprise you in other ways, because there are wonderful characters, and I think it has delivered a really delightful staging and story that has magic in it and a lot of fun music, as well as big operatic emotional music. And I love the piece very much. I'm so thrilled with how the young singers on campus are doing it.
Composer Jake Heggie, his It's a Wonderful Life, conducted by IU's David Neely, with stage direction by Leonard Folia and set design by Robert Brill, plays November 10th through the 17th at IU's Musical Arts Center. I'm George Walker for WFIU Arts.